Welcome everybody to the latest episode of Forever Bristol City podcast. We seem to be doing them every other day at the moment. Fresh overnight from the result at St Andrews, that's the home of Birmingham City. I described it as a bore fest on Twitter. The final score, Birmingham City 0, Bristol City 0. No four games in a row won, but it keeps the unbeaten run going. And 10 points out of 12 from this Yuletide period. I think most people would have settled for that, given where we were maybe barely 3 weeks ago. I'm joined by Mark and Ian. We're going to try and get as much as we can out of yesterday's game, although somebody said on one of the social media platforms last night, good luck with trying to pick the highlights out of that. I'll start with you first, Ian. Your takeaway thoughts from the game in summary.
As you said, if somebody would have said 4 games ago we pick up 10 points out of 12, we'd have bitten their arm off up to their neck. So you can't complain too much. Let's put it this way, I'd be a lot more worried if I was a Birmingham City fan. In terms of, I think the sensible way to do it is rate it in thirds. I thought our defence was a 9, our midfield was a 6/7, and our attack was a 4. What let us down was the final ball. We had twice as many crosses as Birmingham, twice as many passes forward. We dominated the game, but we didn't. The only, I think, decent chances we created was Mometi's header, which was pretty pathetic. And Andy Vyman just needed to get a nick on that nice, that lovely cross from Jason Knight. Or lovely, almost a through ball from Jason Knight. And he completely faffed it. So, and I thought all night our passing was poor. So that's hence the 6.5/7 for the midfield, who actually dominated the game. And Joe Williams looks a different player. So, yeah, we take a point, but it's not a game you're going to want a video of.
No. Mark, your thoughts. Ian's described the highlights, so we might as well call it a day just after that. But what were your takeaway moments?
Well, it shows you the difference when we are treated like the home team. We have the majority of possession. I think it, what was it, 63% in the end, something like that? 63% possession. We're expected to make all the running. We're not turning over ball from a team dominating possession like Watford and, you know, Hull and Sunderland to a lot of extent. We're defending doggedly. The game's completely different. We're expected to make all the running, which means we need good quality ball in the final third. We didn't have that at all. What disappointed me, we just didn't have players who wanted the ball, you know, in that final third to make things happen. There was nobody prepared to make runs at their defence, apart from in the first half. So it was all a bit flat. What we did come away with from these four games, a City have got a settled side, look excellent in defence. Don't look like, when they're playing out from the back, they look very comfortable. They look good playing through the thirds. Joe Williams, It's been tremendous the last two games. Outstanding midfielder, you know, came in ahead of James. And I think Ian alluded to, he probably carrying a little bit of an injury, which was why he was on the subs bench last night. And when he came on, he didn't look his sharpest either, and took a while to get into the speed of the game. But City have come away with 10 points, which is an excellent return. And if we'd have looked at the Watford and Birmingham games from the outside, we might have looked at them differently and thought, oh, we could beat Birmingham and maybe scrape a draw at Watford. It's been completely different. But when you're playing against teams that sit off you, that put men behind the ball, it's much harder. And we've got to learn how to win games like that, as well as where we're feeding off the opposition's energy and not our own. So that's the difference. And it's going to be like that again on Monday against Millwall. So yeah. Fantastic return. We're still a work in progress, but, great work. So we've got a lot to look forward to.
We've seen a work in progress for about 4 years, Mark, haven't we?
The thing is, after 10 games, we're really seeing the benefits of Liam.
Yeah, we look a different side.
In possession, we look so much better.
Yeah,
so much more comfortable, and you look like the team's going somewhere. It's just those final bits, it's just finishing off those moves. That's what you need to do. Be more clinical, take chances when they come to you. Don't let the opposition off the hook.
No,
be more ruthless.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. In the last 20, we've only won 4 out of the last 25 matches against Birmingham, which is pretty poor, really. But interesting stat from last night. In the last 20 meetings with them, right, they've had 19 different managers. Yeah. And which, here's a little quiz question, which manager played his team against us twice out of that 19 managers?
Rowett.
Good, both of you. You read what I read as well. The other thing as well, it was Max O'Leary's 100th game for the club. Didn't have a lot to do. 6th clean sheet of the season. That's not a position that right here, right now, needs to be even contemplated in the window. Let's briefly look at the lineup our lineup. Ian, rotation. I thought they should have used more subs later on in the game, to be honest. Naki Wells getting the nod, leading the line. Your thoughts on that lineup, that change, and we'll talk about it now. Use of substitutions and the timings.
Yeah, I thought it was no surprise to see Naki get 45 and Tommy get 45. And Bell looked particularly the substitutes when he came on in that right wing role, replacing Mark Sykes. And I think there's a few things going on there. Firstly, you've got to try and win the game. Secondly, you've got to make sure you don't lose. And thirdly, you've got to get as few minutes, if you will, into some players' legs and as many minutes into other players' legs as you can. And I'm sure it'll be the same when Ross McCrory and Andy King come back. And the bench will start to look a lot smaller. We know that Cal Naismith probably now won't be back until February because he's had what was described as a setback. We know that Atco and Roberts will be back mid to late Jan. So it's starting to look, touch wood, all the time I'm saying it, it's starting to look a happier place. And we know we'll probably bring in a couple of signings, which I understand to be a creative left-sided midfielder and a striker different to the ones that we've got. So somebody that can play football, not a head on a stick, but somebody that can hold the ball up and play people in. So I think that's looking at everything on the bright side. But look, if we beat Millwall, and I know we've said that a lot over the years, if we win this game, we'll be this and we'll be that. And I wish I'd had a 10.
Oh.
I think it's 10p's run out, David. That's it. Yeah, the sound's gone, isn't it?
Ian's frozen. I don't know what's happened there. He's gone and he's back. He's back in the room. You're back in the room, Ian. I don't know what happened there. We thought.
Sorry, I said that's the meter again. The last part I said, I don't know how much of that you got, but I said if you look at the players coming back, did you hear me say that Naismith's probably out until February?
Yeah, you talked about a new player coming in who's not a head on a stick, who can hold the ball up and bring players in.
Oh, right. Okay. That's the last one. And I think if you beat Millwall, that'll be, is it 12 points out of 15? So
no, if it's 10 from 12, 13. It'll be 13 out of 15.
13 out of 15. So if I'd have said to you 5 games ago, we'd do that, you'd have fallen off it. So Well, I mean, it's a testament to how we play, and we seem at the moment, once again, touching wood, to be able to play better when we have a substantial amount of possession. I think last night we may have had too much, but I think Birmingham, we're trying to play. We were just so much better for them, better than them.
I know.
And at 50% our best, we were 30% better than they were. So I think not real problems.
Well, they've dropped down to 20th. Mark, Ian alluded to earlier, Joe Williams playing some of the best football of his stuttering career at Ashton Gate, I suppose you could say. Yeah, okay, he played a decent number of games last season. Playing for a contract, do you think? Or, you know, he, Wyman and James are out of contract in the summer. I mean, Andy came on. Ian alluded to one of the rare points, that little flick that would have been nice if that had gone in. But do you think Joe's sort of, is he surplus such that he might go in the window and he's sort of putting himself out there for potential suitors?
No.
What do you think?
No, I mean, it's just about Joe Williams' fitness. The quality's always been there, but he hasn't had a run of games because he just hasn't been able to stay fit. And because of the intensity of games and his poor fitness have meant that he's often broken down. So he can't play, you know, three games in a week, which is why he had to come off, I think, after about an hour last night. Around that, which was probably sensible, because I think most fans, when they saw him in the starting lineup, went, Joe Williams is in the starting lineup. Joe Williams is going to break, you know, he's going to fall over and break into little pieces like Humpty Dumpty after 2 minutes falling off a wall. But I mean, given the chance ahead of James against Watford, grabbing, you know, taking the ball and directing the game, winning balls in midfield, winning balls upfield in his own area, he's been absolutely fantastic. And the leader we've been looking for, it's all about fitness. Joe Williams will get a new contract as long as Joe Williams stays fit. No question about his ability. Joe Williams wants to stay at Bristol City. I mean, it's not about putting himself out there, because every club buying Joe Williams will have the same problem. He will, you know, he'll be a Bristol City player. Keep fit, he'll get a new contract. Simple as that.
Okay. Ian, you want to pick up on that point?
How do you know Joe Williams wants to stay at Bristol City, Mark?
I don't. I'm guessing. I'm just saying, you know, I'm hoping that he wants to stay. Well,
and Andy Vyman's got a clause in his contract, which means if he plays so many games, he gets another year. And he hasn't activated that clause yet. So he might be looking around.
Yeah.
They both might be looking around.
Oh, so no, but I wouldn't allude to Andy Vyman. Andy Vyman's completely different case.
Well, I mean, I think the thing is, Chad,
his job secure is going to be a little bit different, because he's probably looking at the end of his career and thinking, if I could sign a 3-year deal or a 2-year deal with somebody, I'd get that extra security. Can I get that in this country? Or can I get that abroad? I've got a right to start talking to foreign clubs now. That's up to him.
I mean, the thing is,
Williams is only 27, isn't he? So his prospects are a bit different.
You can tell there's not a great deal to talk about any action, but just bringing up what you said there, Ian, about a striker, not a head on a stick, different to what we got, and a creative left-sided midfield player. Well, we've already got, in midfield, Ross McCrory coming back, although he was quite emphatic that he's played most of his football at right back. Yeah. You know, if you bring in a creative midfielder to a midfield of, if you say Taylor Gardner-Hickman, Williams and Knight are the first picks in there at the moment. Yeah. If you're bringing in a creative midfielder, which one of those three do you leave out? Yeah. Because if you're bringing somebody in that is, okay, we got to look at it as a match day 19, not a starting 11. But, you know, it's got to be somebody who's better than those three to raise the fans' expectations a bit, Ian. Would you agree with that particular point?
I think if you bring in any players, they should be better than the ones you've currently got. The only other circumstance where you don't do that is if you've got, for example, a top quality left back, and you bring in a left back, this maybe an 8 out of 10. But no, look, I think I've said all along, it's all right saying, well, this player can leave and this other player can leave. Firstly, someone's got to want them. And secondly, the person you bring in has got to be better than them. So we don't need any clubs in the bag, squad fillers, anything like that. We need someone that's better. So you look at who you leave out when you decide how you're going to play when you bring in the players that you've got. For example, we might only play with one wide player and not play with two wide players, which we're currently doing. We might play, Manning might say, well, yeah, we need to score more goals. I'm going to go two up top. So once he'll have seen the list of players and said, right, I'll have him and I'll have him. And those are the two I want. Now, if you can't get them, fair enough. Well, if we can't get those two, I'll have these next two. And after that, if I can't get those two, we won't bother.
Stick with what we got. Stick with what we got. All right, let's get into the action. Mark, we started okay. They got an early corner. Very little action to talk about in the first half. Two incidents, though. Naki Wells, did he miss kick or did Sanderson take his legs? And then there were two headers from Mometi or near headers. They were half chances in the first half, really, Mark, weren't they? And was that a pen?
Well, in the act of crossing the ball, and it was a great team move from City. I think Williams into Sykes, but great ball to feet in tight areas, and Wells adjusts his feet, turns onto his left, and he's attempting to clip the ball to the far post to Mometi, and as he's kicks it, his standing foot goes from under him. So I think Sanderson's kicked the back of his heel, and Mometi, well, it's like he's head in a bar of soap because it slides off his head, and Cam Prings at the back, I think he's got his head in his hands thinking, how did he miss that? But if, as I said before, I think if the move had ended with Wells going down, then the referee might have given a penalty. As it was, we're just ruining a bad miss from Mometi because he just didn't get any contact on the ball. Hardly any contact on the ball at all. It slipped off his forehead and just drifted wide. Mm. So a really bad miss from Mometi. It was an open goal.
Mm. Do you think similarly, Ian, a bad miss? And his lack of physicality, the number of times that he was put in good positions and he was at his most frustrating the other day, well, yesterday. I mean, there were glimmers of what we'd thought we were paying £1 million for in the preceding three games. But, you know, he should have done better. And he just got knocked off the ball too many occasions, didn't he?
I think if you're looking at wingers and talking about physicality, then you might be barking up the wrong tree. But, I mean, wingers, no player plays well every week. And if you're talking about things it could be better, Jason Knight, who I think played well last night, but lots of misplaced overhit passes as well as. So our players aren't the finished article. Mometi is certainly not. But I disagree that he had lots of opportunities. And I mean, if he can't head a ball, that's a problem. And that's something that needs to be sorted out on the training ground. And I agree with Mark. I wouldn't call it an open goal. But I think from the one where Sykes crossed it with his left foot, he should have got far better contact, a glancing header, and sent it into the... he could have gone for either corner of the net. And I think he just completely... Well, he looked, to me, it looked like when you've got kids in the playground and they're trying to head a ball and they just can't get the technique to do it. It looked like one of them. But once again, perhaps headed isn't high up on the list of talents when you're signing a winger. But right, I think he'll start Saturday, and I think he'll, unless of course he pulls up in training or they kind of is tired. I mean, we've got today. What have they got? 2.5 days to recover, and there were a lot of them last night. That I thought Cam Pring's first touch last night was a pass at times. And he wasn't the only one. It was Yeah, it was a bit of a shame, but it was an indifferent. Well, it was a poor performance in the final third, I have to say it. And for, I mean, we had double the crosses Birmingham had, double the passes forward. We won more individual duels, so it, you know, you couldn't say it was a bad performance. It's an
away point. Two points and lost, look, in effect, then, Ian. Really, on the
well, yeah, but if you'd have offered all of us 4 points from those two away games, what we'd have all said yes.
Yeah, so, of course you would. No, you know, it would have been the other way around.
Look at Preston last night. They beat Wolves. They beat Leeds on the last game, and they go out last night. And they, what was it? Was it a loss or a defeat with Rotherham?
Draw.
No, Rotherham drew with Sunderland.
Drew. What?
Yeah, Preston. Mark's right. Rotherham drew with Sunderland last night.
Right. Well, Preston.
Preston lost at home to Sheffield Wednesday. There you go.
That's the one I was thinking of. So,
and QPR got a draw at Ipswich as well. So we said about 3 weeks ago the bottom three were cast adrift, but not so really, is it?
Well, I think people could. There always seems to be a team that get dragged down into it. QPR were nearly that team last year, but QPR have changed their manager. You know, we might look around, but we were criticising the point we got at QPR and our performance, which wasn't great, which was Liam Manning's first game. But that might turn out to be quite a good point at the end of the day.
Mm. Yeah, no, well, you could be right.
At the end of the season.
Yeah. Mark, Ian said, barking on a wrong tree, going on about physicality and wingers, not really associated with it. And I'll bring Ian in on the conversation as well. I'm just sort of thinking about wingers that I've watched in my time at City that would not get knocked off the ball in the way that Manning does, because Sykes isn't a big lad, and I think he's got the right physicality. But you might not remember all of these, Mark, but first one I'll pick is Alan Skirton, right, back in the late 60s. He was a bloody unit. He was very quick, yeah.
Yeah, Arsenal, Blackpool and City, wouldn't he?
I think he was from the West Country
anyway, wouldn't he, I think.
I'll pick another one, Clive Whitehead, you know.
Yeah, Clive, talked to him at the senior Reds Christmas do. Lovely, lovely fella.
He wouldn't be powder puff on the ball.
No, he was converted to a right back.
You're talking about a different quality of player, Dave.
I'm talking about physicality, because you can be a lump and not particularly good and not get knocked off the ball. Yeah.
Yeah.
Clive Whitehead's exceptional. Mark, you'll remember these two as well, right? Dave Smith, Mark Gavin, 1989, yeah. 90.
Well, Mark Gavin was out of physicality. Oh, you reckon you're having a laugh?
He was a little weedy bloke, right? But
yeah, he was all arms and legs. Dave Smith was more powerful, and he was they called him the flying postman, didn't
Dave,
they?
We got Dave Smith, Billingham. I'll agree with you on, but not.
No, but Mark Gavin was quite lightweight. Mark Gavin, I don't recall him just being just knocked off the ball. And going back to the 70s again, Jerry Sharp, slightly built guy, but as hard as nails, not the quality of Clive Whitehead, admittedly. Yeah.
In those days, you had to give it out, didn't you?
We're not going to keep this one going for
But the
hour.
thing is, when you say wingers these days, I mean, I think it's a bit of an old term. Do teams play with wingers now? Because it sort of talks about a very linear style of play. You know, you're having permanent wide men when you really want players to play a little bit further inside. You want them to make space, and you also want them to do defensive work. If you were to old-fashioned wingers were people who just stuck to the line and waited for the ball, you know, to some extent, you wouldn't see them tracking back.
No. Here's another one from the past, Junior Bent. You know, he wasn't big, but I didn't see him weak. And that's the thing with Anis. You know, we've had our expectations elevated by the three games that we won. All right, he had a bad game last night, but and Alan Andrews has said on the text feed here, Pring had his head in his hands, because had Anis not got his head on the ball, it was a marked tap in. Well, one would hope it was tapped in, because just before the end, Pring had a shot on the edge of the box, and it would have been more akin to going for 2 points at the rugby. Anyway, getting back to the action, I'll be honest, I didn't write a lot in the second half. There were two incidents. Ian's already described it. But Knight, the Vyman flick almost crept in. But Ian, it would have been a travesty, an absolute travesty, if that shot of Sundjic's that went wide had gone in, wasn't it? And the way the net rippled, some of their fans thought that had gone in, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Did you find the coverage last night dark? I think they need to get their floodlights sorted out, Birmingham, because it was just, you know, it was just dark and dingy and I don't know. But anyway, no atmosphere. And it was the game reflected the no atmosphere and all the rest of it. I mean, Skype's crowd was 21,000. We had 2,000 there, which is all the tickets they gave us. And before I forget to say it, fair play to every single one of them that went out there.
Well, probably most of them went to Watford as well, didn't they, Ian, I would imagine?
Yeah, well, but I'll tell you one thing. When you said I didn't see Mark Gavin get pushed off the ball very much, Rob Newman, when we played, he was playing for Bolton on the left wing, and we played that Freight Rover Cup final that we won 3-0 when Riley scored. Mark Gavin got put about five rows back after 15, 20 minutes by Rob Newman and right off the pitch, and Mark Gavin disappeared for the rest of the game. I mean, he might as well have stayed in the seats for how much good he did. But let's be honest. It wasn't much of a game. Were the players tired? Well, if ours were tired, so were theirs. So perhaps it was two tired teams.
Yeah, could be.
I think the darkness wasn't out by the fact that, you know, Birmingham were playing in royal blue. We played in black. I don't understand that at all. Don't know why we didn't wear red and white. And then the white shorts might have helped as well. Just two very dark colours on a pitch, you know, that wasn't lit up very well. I just don't think it was, you know, it just wasn't very easy on the eye. For the viewer at all. Why we had to wear black, I don't know. I think it must just be for the shirt manufacturers to sell a few more kits if they got them available in the club shop. But there you go. But that.
Well, the referee had bright orange tops on, didn't they? Which I haven't seen.
Well, but only because probably because City were wearing black. You know, they could have worn
fluorescent yellow, Mark. They could have worn fluorescent yellow.
Yeah, City could have worn yellow.
When Birmingham came to our place very early on in the season and beat us 2-0, they looked very impressive. And Wayne Rooney's had 14 games in charge and he's got 9 points. I mean, Ian, you know, new American owners, you know, there's whispers of Steve Cooper going there. They got to be questioning their decision to bring him in, really, haven't they?
Well, it was a stupid decision all round. I mean, Birmingham were fifth when they sacked Eustace and replaced him with Rooney. Now, Rooney's managerial record, however you look at it, isn't that great. Now, you could say, well, he did okay with Derby in difficult circumstances, but Derby had some quite good, highly paid players. But his record in America was poor. So they were celebrity owners and they wanted a celebrity manager. And I could understand why the Birmingham fans are upset, and I could understand why the Sunderland fans got upset, because when Mowbray was fired, they were sixth and playing well. So I really don't get that. Steve Cooper, would he go there? Don't know. He's probably setting his sights a bit higher, but you never know. He might see it as a challenge. But I can't. If they keep going with Rooney, and you talk about substitutions, I looked at the players out on the bench, and I thought, who don't we want to come on? And it would have been Big Djukovic for the last 20 minutes and Gardner.
Yeah.
And he didn't bring either of those on. He seems to be trying to prove a point. And the point he's proving is he's not a very good manager. And I think tactically, he's surrounded himself with his mates. And this is everything I'm picking up from Birmingham City fans online. And a friend of mine had a conversation with some Birmingham lads he knows, and they said yeah, we're fine going forward, but we just can't defend. And that's why I was very disappointed last night that we didn't score, because the game before against Stoke, I think the difference was the game before against Stoke, they actually did try and attack and they just got picked off. And I think they're, I was glad to see that the big centre back Roberts didn't play last night, because he's a menace from set pieces.
That's three of their players, Ian, that you wouldn't have wanted to come on then: Roberts, Gardner, and Djukovic. How old is Djukovic, by the way? Mark, is he? Do you know?
I think he's about 34, isn't he?
He's too old.
He's an English player, isn't he? With a Polish surname. He's actually from this country, isn't he? I was quite surprised when I looked at his history. Going back to Rooney, I think that the owners want to sprinkle some stardust. It's more akin to weed killer that they sprinkle, really, because the team is just dying on his ass, isn't it? They look like a bunch of strangers the way that they play compared to
Ian said about teams slipping down. I'm looking at the bottom of the table. They're still 7 points clear of of QPR. I mean, Rotherham are gone now, but you just don't know, do you?
They look like they're treading water. Yeah. I mean, I think they brought on Ollie Burke, didn't they? Keishi Anderson, who they got from Swindon at the end of last season, and another player. But they just, and Tyler Roberts. But they, I mean, apart from that Sunjit shot, they had nothing. They had the one shot on target, I think, from the which was just a grass cutter in the first half that Max fielded is near post. That was the only shot on target in the whole game. But they looked like a team in trouble. They were, you know, on the way down unless they sort themselves out.
Not good. So anyway, we're recording this on, was it Saturday? So they got a recovery day today. I think he said they're in training on Sunday. Ross McCrory he's in training today, Ross McCrory. Ian, when do you think McCrory is going to appear on the match day 20? Do you think they might give him a couple of second tier games before they bring him back, or maybe give him 20 minutes of full competitive action sometime soon?
I think the under 21s would be a good step for the length of time he's been out, and play him in a position where he's going to have a bit of running to do. I mean, you could play him at right back, but you can play right back in those games and not get that many touches. But yeah, I'd like to see him do perhaps one half of football in that, because he's another one. He's a big lad. He's 6'2", and he can shift and he likes a tackle. So unleash him in that. Then I think you could see him on the bench for the West Ham game. And it'd be interesting to find out if Taylor Gardner-Hickman is going to be cup-tied for that one. But I think as he's on loan and they're not looking to make it permanent until the end of the season, which is quite sensible. You don't want to spend money that you don't need to spend right away. But I think Andy King's also available, and Andy's useful on the bench, I think, if you're seeing a game out. But the other ones, Roberts is our only real cover for Campering at left back, and Atkinson, because I mean, Viner and Dickey have been two absolutely key players, but they're going to get tired the same as the rest. So, and please God, they don't get injured, because that could undo a lot of the good work that we've done. Mm. So that and a couple of signings, and I think, and touch wood, nobody else gets injured, then I think we can actually say we've had, if we beat Millwall, we've had an absolutely brilliant Christmas period.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. Mark, moving on to Millwall, they were, I think, winners yesterday. They're without George Savile, a player who featured for us on loan. Was it in the promotion season under Cox?
He was on loan from Wolves.
He
played for Brentford the previous season. They won. They've been unbeaten in the last four games: two home wins, two away draws. Apart from Norwich, you know, teams around the bottom of the division, but they'll be, you know, they find themselves at the wrong end of the table after, you know, progressing really well under Rowett, and then they decided to part company with him at the beginning of the season, not long after we beat them at the New Den. So, you know, traditionally, we've always found it very difficult against Millwall. I think we beat them a couple of seasons ago, 3-2, when Andy Vyman got a hat-trick. I think it might have been Boxing Day a couple of seasons ago. But last season was another frustrating loss. And it's going to be very tough. Probably a team that's sitting, you know, going to make it difficult for us. Very, very, very robust. And we're going to have to be at our patient best.
Yeah, because they will sit in. Absolutely right. Ian, looking at their side sort of players, to me that stand out, well, not stand out, that ring a bell. Cooper's a pretty solid defender, isn't he? And then Matt Wallace, not to be confused with the other Wallace.
Yes, Wallace.
He's a very good player who went to West Brom. Up front, Bradshaw always seems to score against us, former Walsall player. But interestingly, I checked, he didn't get on. Joe Bryan not making the starting lineup, not being a consistent performer, whether he's been injured. Would he have been a good signing for us in the summer? There was extensive talk about him coming back.
I think possibly you could say that Joe, on what we've seen of first team action, would be a better player than Hayden Roberts for us. But then again, he's a lot older. I mean, Joe can probably give Hayden Roberts 10 years. So, looking at Millwall, their away form isn't great. They're 19th in the current form league. They've won one of their last six, drawn two, lost three, scored nine and conceded nine, picked up 5 points out of 18. So if you compare and contrast that to our home form, where we're eighth in the home form, current form, where we've won four of the last six, haven't drawn any at home, lost two. And we've also scored nine, but only conceded seven. And we've picked up 12 points out of those 18. So, yes, I think they sat in last night. They had very little possession against Norwich, but they had as many shots on target. So it looked like, to me, like Norwich dominated the ball. I haven't seen the game, but it looked like Norwich dominated the ball, but didn't go anywhere with it.
Norwich had 65% possession, 11 shots, 3 on target. Millwall had 11, 5 on target with 35% possession. So,
yeah, so it's that old thing, isn't it? And bearing in mind Millwall were at home, it's that old thing about, you know, it's not the amount of the ball you have, it's what you do with it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think particularly I'd be looking at set pieces with Hutchison and Cooper, who are a nuisance. They're both the size of a wardrobe. So I don't want to see us playing the ball forward in the air. Thank you very much on Saturday. And we seem to be more considerate with our crossing in turning low, which is the right thing to do with the size of forwards that we've currently got. And I can't see us having anybody lined up that's going to be available first of Jan. So, you know, why not? I think we need to play the football against them. I think they'll let us dominate possession if we want to. And it's the sort of game where you need an early goal or even two to bring them out of their shell. So that's what we need to do. And let's hope we do it. But it's certainly not a game we should be frightened of. And
absolutely looking
at their team, it's only the big guys at the back. They're not like Millwall of old, where everybody was a minimum of 6'2" and they'd kick you up in the air. So it's not that kind of team, but still need to be, like last night, we still need to be very careful from set pieces.
Yeah. Mark, would you see Liam Manning making any changes or many changes? I mean, Max in goal, he's going to stick with a back four of Tanner, Viner, Dickey and Pring. Midfield, Knight's got to be there. Up front, Sykes will probably start, but you're then looking at maybe swapping Wells, Mometi, maybe TGH out. What, if any, changes do you think he'd make? Would you make on Monday, Mark? You first.
I think the only change he might make is Tommy for Naki Wells, and then you'd see that. And then, but the rest will start. Same starting 11. Tommy Conway for Naki Wells. And that'll be the starting 11, I think, on Monday. The other player that I noticed that's on their roster, God, that's a stupid word to say, is Brooke Norton Cuffey, big, rangy midfielder, wide player, played for Rotherham last season and Coventry on loan from Arsenal. So he's playing for him as well, number four. Decent player, but I remember when he played at Rotherham, gave us loads of problems in the first half, then faded completely in the second half. Don't know what sort of impact he made at Coventry, but he was there for the second half of last season. But I think they'll miss George Saville, but Tom Bradshaw has done quite well against his ex-Walsall and Barnsley player. Decent centre forward, but the difference this season is Millwall are really struggling. You know, usually they're up and around the playoff positions, punching above their weight. This season they're struggling. And what you said about Joe Bryan, I think Joe Bryan would have been a gamble. I think at the time it was seen as a significant wage that we could be spent elsewhere. So I think really in making that decision to go there may have helped us, because I think that might have left a bit of a hole in our budget. And
I think
since October, yeah. So he's not available anyway.
I mean, I think this thing, this thing on budgets, I think if there seems to be a lot of sentiment for getting Joe back, and that sentiment, if I may say, may even have been coming at the highest levels in the club. And I think when they want to do something, budgets and stuff like that tend to go out the window a little bit. I think Joe under Pearson was not going to get an assurance that he would start, but then that left side, and I'm not a Joe Bryan fan, I never was, right? But that left side with Joe Bryan, Cam, and Roberts as an understudy, and Mometi, that left side would have been stronger for him being there than it is at the moment, yeah, because Cam is the only, I'll call it, solid player on that left side. Do you agree with that, Ian? But, you know, with the benefit of hindsight, you know, it might have been a good addition, or, you know, that's like, say, if my mum was my uncle or whatever.
We might have dodged the other thing to say is, Dave, we might have dodged a bullet.
Yeah.
High wages, and he's not getting in Millwall side, and he didn't, if I remember the game up there correctly, he didn't pull up any trees in that game, did he?
No.
I think Hayden Roberts is a young player. He got that, what was described at the time as a knock, but turns out it's been a pretty significant injury. So let's hope he comes back and he's fit and he's firing. And what it confirmed to me is that we need a much stronger pre-season calendar. You know, we can, the games we had, we might as well have had games against
the three Park sides. I mean, the pre-season.
We might as well have played the three Lions and the Dogged Duck. We need those stronger games so you can actually judge. And when a player, you know, you play against teams like that and all of a sudden, the first game of the season, you're up against Preston, who are still not far behind us. And like I say, they lost to Sheffield Wednesday. They beat Leeds. So, you know, they ain't a bad side. I think it's going to be interesting. But on Joe, if I had the chance to sign him next week, I'm not sure I want to. Certainly not on significant wages. No,
not now. No, definitely not now. But
there's no resale value. Real resale value is there. That's the thing. And the other thing we're looking to bring in, and I think that Dave Fev's alluded to it on the last podcast, is we want runners, players who can run. And especially under Lee and Manning, you know, we want that energy. With players coming in. So, I'm not sort of necessarily thinking that'd be, something that Joe could do.
I'll come up on that comment, run in a minute, because I've been reading Alan Dix. Dix's 50 years in football. Did either of you guys get that as a Christmas present at all?
No, No.
God, must have faultless other halves then. That's what I would say. But Ian, how many matches has Liam had now? It is 10, isn't it? Is that 10 games?
It's 10. Yes, it's 10.
And what is it? Is it 4-3-3?
Yes.
He's definitely won four. Yeah, I put it up on Twitter last night. Yeah, he's before that game he had a 44% win rate. He's dropped right down to 40 now, and I think it's about the same on point. So what's clear is that we need to do better in terms of winning games away from home. So we'd be better off. I know it's mathematically it's a simple thing to say, but we'd be better off winning one, losing one than drawing two. But then again, there are things to say for staying unbeaten, you know, in terms of the confidence of the club, and the confidence of the team. In professional footballers, confidence seems to be about 90 minutes long at times. And we know what City are like in terms of you come up against a club that's struggling. We'll do them a favour and lose to them. I think, alluding to a point here that John H has made, 8 red cards in the EFL yesterday, 4 in the Championship. Is that a sign of fatigue? Yeah, could be, couldn't it? So I think that's a worthwhile point. And I've put a comment on Twitter thanking people for the points they're making this morning, because there's some really interesting stuff on there. Hopefully we're bringing Adam Murphy in, as we discussed. And there's also a very good right back there, but I think we may be up against some stiff competition from the likes of Man City.
Somebody put up as well.
Development squad.
Yeah, I think Dave Fev's commented on it, said probably no substance to it, but there was a League Two centre forward that was linked with somewhere that would satisfy that, different to what we've got up front. He looked a bit like Seb Palmer Holden in terms of physicality and what have you. But okay, I said about running. I have been reading the Alan Dix book over Christmas, and really, really interesting, particularly his period being brought up in London during the war and the immediate aftermath of it. If anybody hasn't got that book, go out and get it. It's really, really good. But Alan Dix was talking in there about getting players that can run, if you can run. And he said that was a thing in his own game, that he had everything, but he lacked pace. And that was his downfall. And he said about getting players running. And, you know, he said he was often commented on that we were a side that was hard to beat because of our fitness and our running. Now, the game obviously is a lot quicker and the fitness level's a lot higher than what it was back then. But there was another interesting thing that he commented on, and I'd be interested in your views on this, that he used to do a lot of training, particularly on a Friday, and they didn't have the HPC, a lot of training on the Ashton Gate pitch. And he talked about rehearsing moves and stuff like that, sometimes without opposition, which did seem a bit strange because, you know, big centre-half is not just going to let you walk through the middle. But, yeah, and how the groundsman would, you know, berate him for wanting to play on that pitch. But you first, Mark, I mean, do you think there is something to be said for rehearsing routines on the actual pitch that you're going to play on? Because Ashton Gate isn't the fortress that it was. But do you think there's any merits in doing that at all? Or is it enough for the HPC pitch size to replicate what Ashton Gate is?
Maybe a little bit, maybe for younger players to give them a feel of that. Maybe the atmosphere. But I think the difference now is that, you know, with the sports science, all the metrics, all the information that players are given, they should be a lot better balance now with the information and preparation than they would have had in that era. I remember Dix was the first with John
Jonathan Pearce and his dad, yeah.
John Pearce to show edited highlights of games on you know, open reel videotape, which is the ones that are being cleaned up at the moment to use for post match analysis, spliced video. So But they just weren't. They just didn't have the same preparation as players get to the day. So they would be much better prepared. You know, million times better than, you know, well, a lot better than players in of that era. And better coaching, should be getting better coaching. You know, coaches in the true sense, rather than managers who wouldn't don a tracksuit. You know, even Brian Clough, it was a case in point. He wasn't a tracksuit manager. He left that to others. He was just able to get the most out of players, you know, by talking to them, by coaxing them and finding their weak, but the bit, you know, getting 10% more out of the better players and 20% out of the ordinary players. You know, there's a difference. It's different times, really.
It's cool. And different times, again, this applies, Ian. Tony Collins, who was very much a man behind the scenes at Ashton Gate with the player, you'd call him a modern-day football director. And he used to say the routine, there was no transfer windows back then, but the routine back then was, you know, he said what we used to do, we would watch a player twice away and once at home, and then we would decide whether, and then Alan Dix would then go and watch him physically. I mean, what level of physically going to what, and Terry Cooper and Clive Middlemass used to do this, traipsing around the country. I mean, you know, Nigel Pearson, particularly with his bad back, but do you think our decisions are made too much on looking at clips? And we all saw what you can do with video clips with Luke Donny and things like that. You know, what do you think of that?
Nah, I mean, we still go in physically watch players. We had scouts out of games last night. So what you've got to remember is that times moved on. There were no, you couldn't get videos of players. There was no YouTube. There was no highlights. There was no statistics. You can just pay a subscription and get into that tell you a great deal. On the pitches at the HPC are every bit as good as the pitch at Ashton Gate. And don't forget that we didn't used to have a rugby team playing on the pitch. Sometimes on a Friday night, the day before we play on a Saturday. Can you imagine what the Ashton Gate pitch would have been like years ago if we'd have done that? Yeah. It would have been like a quagmire. Yeah. Because don't forget the reserves used to play on there as well when it wasn't the under 21s. But there was a lot of... I think what you've got to say, Dave, is that times have moved on. We've got far better facilities. Players years ago, I've made the point before of the year that we got promoted to the what's now the Premier League. Five players played every single game of the season, including the cup matches. Yeah. Now, four players also played almost every single game. So that's nine. We only used 16 players in the league all season, albeit it was only 42 games. But remember then, we were talking about use of subs. You only had one
sub. I know. So I know. A bygone, so, you know,
times have changed. Times have changed. It's moved on, I think, largely for the better. And I don't think players play anything like as much. I don't think they play at all when they're injured. And by injured, I don't mean their legs hanging off. I mean, if they feel in, I'll call it suboptimal condition, right? So years ago, it'd have been, hang on, mate, we'll just whack a bit of cortisone in there, you'll be fine. Now, I mean, you only have to look at players like Tommy Smith, that old war horse at Liverpool. I mean, dear me, the bloke was in his late 40s. He looked about 65 and he was walking on two sticks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's terrible. I mean, Dave Febbs just made the point, bring back one sub, I hate nine subs. I actually quite like it.
I think there's a midway point. I think having three subs and having six on the bench, that's a compromise because it is a bit excessive. Mark, sorry, you got your hand up.
The other thing that's changed, I mean, up to about 30-odd years ago, players were having like steak and eggs, weren't they, as a pre-match meal. You're thinking, how can you digest some of that stuff? You know, and of course, after training, You know, they might have sausage, egg, and a fried slice. You just wouldn't even contemplate
that
sort of fuel
and,
now.
And wash it down. And wash it down with 3 pints.
And then have a couple of fags out the back after training as well. Interesting. Right. Let's wrap this up. You first, Mark. I'm going to say one of our there seems to be an exodus of ex City players drifting or City. Yeah,
an exodus of ex City players. Is this
exodus? Of ex-City players across to the dark side of our fair city.
Oh, you, Chris Martin.
Chris Martin, who scored yesterday again.
Yeah,
so he's showing that he can still do it at League One level. But being confirmed, Jamie McAllister, gone to join Matt Taylor.
Yeah.
Obviously, little Lee didn't take him to Fleetwood. And I guess the prospect of
there's
a
only
job
so much fish to go round, David. That's why. So you know, it's
the prospect of a job in Bristol, and a job, never mind, and a job in Bristol. He balanced that off against being given a lot of stick for being an ex-Red over there. What do you think of Jamie Mack going over there?
Well, it's up to him. To be quite honest, I'm not bothered. I'm not bothered by Bristol Rovers. We haven't played him in the league since 2001. I just don't. Frankly, my dear, as Clark Gable said, Rhett Butler, I don't give a damn.
Fair enough. Yeah.
What about you, Ian? Are you the same?
Yeah, not bothered. I mean, good luck.
Good luck to Chris Martin.
Yeah,
I think he's left Hibs since he left Hibs, and they need to work. He knows the city very well. He lived here for long enough because obviously when he left here, he went to Yeovil, didn't he?
Mm, mm. So,
you know, I mean, Matt Taylor was very, very well thought of down here at Exeter.
Said Matt Taylor is a bloody good manager. Said, did he leave Exeter to go to Rovers or was he between jobs?
Went to Rotherham.
He went to Rotherham, right? Okay, and then he was eased out at Rotherham,
He got a Rotherham job because Warren left to go to Derby. He's the manager of many go round. Yeah, he got sacked by Rotherham. Yeah,
gotcha, right?
So, no, I mean, you know, I'm not going to say good luck to him, but you know, for, on a personal level. Any job's better than no job, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, Matt Taylor was very, very well thought. I can only tell you that, because obviously down my neck of the woods, I speak to Exeter City and Argyle fans. Heard last night that at the start of the season, we were in for, is it Ryan Hardy, their centre forward, Plymouth?
All right.
And then he signed an extended contract with under Schumacher. Now, Schumacher's just left to go to Stoke. Yeah, I mean, I think, and they seem to have picked up. I mean, they like I say, they played well. I watched the Birmingham game against Stoke the other night, and Birmingham were dreadful. But I have to say, Stoke played decent football. It wasn't, you know, lumpy football. It was good, accurate passing, and they played on the counter, which we didn't have much chance to do, to be honest, because Birmingham already had the ball. So, yeah, I think in terms of Taylor, I think he'll be light years ahead of the bloke they had before. I've got to be honest. And he won't be anything like his controversial.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a low bar to set with, you know.
A little bit too far off.
9 points off the playoffs.
Off the playoffs to be a threat.
I think with our own form, I mean, we've got a 10-game block for Liam Manning. Strange enough, 6 away, only 4 at home, and we've won 3 out of 4. And that Norwich game, we should have got at least a draw. What we didn't want to do is we wanted to make sure we didn't lose the game. That's what we didn't do. That was the big mistake. But we've seen the team progress in those 10 games. That's the difference. We've seen a definite progression, and now we've got to keep that up. I'm not expecting huge things. I'll enjoy the ride, the unbeaten run, as long as it goes on. If we get into the top six, great. Like the Sears, make some additions in January. It can only improve the team, and those players coming back, the squad will be hugely stronger. Our problem, again, even though we scored 3 against Hull and we got 4 against Watford, you know, we can't miss those presentable chances when they come along. So we still got to score those goals. And it's the away form that needs sorting out now, because the home form's very good. Under Liam Manning, three wins out of four. That's very good.
Got to be happy with that. Ian, you'd endorse that as well, really, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, like I say, if you look at where we were when he came in the door, and I think the other side of it is the football's been more entertaining. Mm. You're not, it doesn't matter who you are. I mean, look at some of the results Man City have had lately. They haven't, and they're the best team in the world. Yeah. But they don't get it right all the time. I mean, they were 2-0 up with about 15, 20 minutes to go against Palace and got pegged back to 2-2. So it's not always going to go for you, because as Bobby Robson once famously said, when a journalist asked him, why can't we do this and why can't we do that? He said, well, the other side won't let you. And that's true as ever. And yeah, but it's true, isn't it? You know, you're not playing against mannequins or road cones.
Ian, I want to know. That was you've done Gary Johnson for us, your impersonation the other day. Good Bobby Robson one then. Have you been working on your Liam Manning impression yet?
I might have been because it's
don't let people see it here. Have a think about that. But,
you got looking right down, isn't it?
He's got the affirmative. He's got the American affirmative right. You know, Nigel had that dismissive laugh. Liam's got the American affirmative right, and that is, if someone says something to you and you agree with it, you go, I know, right? But he'll do that quite a few times. I think I've said it before. It's about behavior. People are get fed up with me saying this.
It's all about process,
behaviors, performances,
attitudes, behaviors,
right. So he's got that little bit, Liam. Yeah. But and the other ones at the moment, the really interesting one for me is Ange Postecoglou, Sean Dyche, and the caller at the darts trying to outdo each other in the Gruff of the Year award, because Ange's on his press conference, he's all right, mate. Well, look, you know, I mean, okay, he was
in an Australian accent.
That sounded a bit like
Gary Johnson does Ange Postecoglou.
Or Sean Dyche, but Sean's a bit louder. He's not quite as low key. Ange is right down. Ange is right down here, mate. You know, he always sounds.
Sean, don't talk to me about VAR.
he's got his hand in his head. But look, you know, that's how it is, and that's what it's going to be.
So who was that last one there, Ian? You've lost me now. That was Ange.
My favourite is what was it? Somebody said when Sean Dyche was at City and he was injured. That story, which there was a fan sitting near him in the grandstand and said something to him that elicited a punch. What was that, Ian? It was something. It always makes me laugh.
No.
Somebody said something to Sean. What are you doing these days? Or something?
He used to get called sick note.
Yeah.
Yeah, not the highlight when he went up in Sean Dyche being at us, but Everton.
Same with Gary O'Neill. I mean, look at him.
Today. Wolves playing Everton today because we're recording this on Saturday. And Gary O'Neill seems to be showing that Bournemouth were a bit harsh in getting rid of him. Matt Moore's just said on the text, Ian's no Mike Yarwood. On that point, we'll.
I'm glad of that. Mike's dead.
Yes. On that point.
Boy, am I glad of that.
On that point, we will call it a day.
Sorry.
Happy New Year to you, Ian, because we're going to be recording the Millwall Review 9 o'clock Tuesday morning. So, Happy New Year. Got any special plans or relatively quiet?
No, we've got, hopefully, if my, I'm currently suffering from a bad back. And hopefully, if I'm okay, I'll be up at Ashton Gate for the Millwall game. But at the moment, I'm actually better when I'm stood up than when I'm laid down. It is very, very painful. Oh. So hopefully I'll be up there for
that. You got a bad back like our Nige.
Dear, this I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy, mate, I'll tell you. I got But no, then we got the grandchildren are down here at the moment with their mum and dad, obviously, because you don't want five-year-olds driving down the motorway, do you?
Somebody PD
or the two-year-old, he'd be even worse.
Oh, so much as he got wind.
No, it's not. I'm wincing with pain, mate. That's what it
is. Yeah,
you got yourself sort of. What about you, Mark, for New Year's?
I'm getting over a cold. I should be all right. But the wife's in bed. She's feeling awful. So I don't think we'll be doing anything New Year's Eve. I should be at Ashton Gate with my sister and her boyfriend, hopefully on New Year's Day, which would be great. Enjoying the game, but I think the reason I got such a bad cold was shaking everybody's hands and high-fiving everybody several times at the Hull City game.
Yeah.
10 days ago, so I'm suffering because of that. Oh. And the wife can probably hear that next door. But no, I'll be a very quiet New Year's Eve tomorrow. So sadly, but no, it's been a very interesting year. We finished it strongly. You know. Best wishes to all Bristol City fans, the best fans in the world, as far as I'm concerned. Sport unites us, and we got the best fans in the world. And thank you to everybody who follows the Forever Bristol City podcast. Yeah. And thank you, David, for giving us a chance to air our views. You know, I think we're getting stronger. You've got any statistics to finish off with?
Yeah, it's good fun. It is good fun to do it.
You got any statistics at all?
Today, we've managed to keep going. I have to say that after last night, this is probably one of the hardest to get through because there was so little to talk about.
Well, I don't think it raised itself above the level of mediocre. It was that low, wasn't it?
Yeah, but there we go. No, thanks to everybody who's listened to us and watched us, increasing number of YouTube subscribers. I don't know, I look like shit this morning and I haven't even been drinking, but there we go. Anyway, Happy New Year, everybody, and we look forward to speaking to you or talking to you after the Millwall game, recording on 9 o'clock on Tuesday, the 2nd of January. All the best, everybody. Bye-bye.
Yeah, have a great Bye-bye. New Year, everybody. Stay Bless safe.
Everybody.
Bye.
Happy New Year. Good luck.
Blow them all away. What if I've been unlucky? Really, I ain't got a thing. There's a time I always feel happy as a king. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get up, get out of bed. Cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When red, red robins are bob, bob, bobbing along. Red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.